precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, excessive force. We need to finish that from last broadcast. Are Israelis overreacting to the present upheaval? Well, what are the facts? How did it come about? First of all, the claim that this uprising came about as a result of Mr. Sharon's visit to the Temple Mount is a silly and flimsy pretext. This uprising, now several months old, was carefully planned and continues to be orchestrated by the Palestinian Authority, of which Yasser Arafat is chairman. He pulls all the strings. Nothing happens without his approval. So far, hundreds have died and thousands have been wounded in this uprising. Most of them Palestinians, including children and even babies. Unbelievable though it may seem to us, Palestinian children who have died or who have been injured were deliberately put into the crossfire by their parents. Israeli children who were killed or were injured were in every case victims of snipers who deliberately targeted those innocents for their bloody purposes. There are two kinds of Israeli victims. Those who are ambushed in random terror attacks against civilians, either on the highways or in the cities, by snipers, by suicide bombers, or by Arabs deliberately driving their cars into unsuspecting crowds. And then there are the victims of the never-ending war in the streets. It is typically fought with rocks thrown by teenagers and even children in the front, and by soldiers with bombs, Molotov cocktails, and guns in the background. The weapons used are those that the Israelis foolishly gave to the Palestinians for their police force or which, in full violation of the Oslo Accord, the Palestinians smuggled into the territory of the Palestinian Authority. It is true that the number of Palestinian casualties is substantially larger than those of the Israelis. This disparity is partly the result of the decision of the Palestinians to create martyrs and to evoke world sympathy for their plight. And the ultimate hope to have an international force, a UN contingent, stationed in Israel or in the territories. The other reason that the number of Palestinian casualties is greater is that the Palestinian mobs attack the Israeli military in large numbers, soldiers having to defend themselves and avoid being overrun inevitably cause casualties in protecting themselves. Just imagine your son or daughter being one of the Israeli soldiers. Howling mobs throwing rocks. Yes, they hurt and kill. Attack the soldiers. From the unseen depths of the attacking mob come gunfire, grenades, and flying bottles of flaming gasoline. What if you were in charge? Would you tell the Israeli soldiers to do? What would you tell them to do? Respond as they do now in most cases with rubber bullets? Or would this be the time to use live ammunition? You know what the answer is. Israel is a civilized and democratic country. The reality, because Israel is a civilized and democratic country, is that rather than use excessive force, Israel is using almost unbelievable restraint in order to keep casualties to a very minimum. There can be no question that if any real force, let alone excessive force, was used, the number of casualties would be many times greater. Remember what happened in Somalia. Under similar circumstances, the helicopters were called in and mercilessly gunned down the insurgents. Within minutes, hundreds were killed. More casualties than in the many months that the Israeli military has allowed this uprising to continue. Israel's restraint is based on its own valuation of human life, but also on regard for world opinion, which in this case, as so many times before, is ready to label Israelis the aggressors, or in the most crazy of voices, to compare them to the Nazis. Even though many had died so far in this intifada, the toll would have been much, much greater were it not for the restraint and the discipline of Israeli troops and the measured response policy of the Israeli government. In order to avoid provoking the Arabs, Israel has on occasion even refrained from bringing in helicopters to evacuate wounded soldiers. Can you imagine what the response of government troops would be if such an uprising were to occur in any of the Arab countries, say Syria, Saudi Arabia, or Egypt? Many thousands would die. Ultimately, however, if this violence does not abate, Israel will indeed have to use adequate force, not excessive force, to quell it, even at the risk of international condemnation. But it is clear that Israel cannot permit this situation to continue indefinitely. It must be stopped. I repeat, it must be stopped. And the way to stop it is in an instant is for Mr. Arafat to give the word to do so. He has not done that so far. In fact, and because it serves his purposes, he is the key instigator. Taken from Facts and Logic About the Middle East Flame. Don't give up the 1967 lands, Delay tells Israel lobby. Washington House Majority Whip Tom Delay suggested that Israel should not withdraw from territory captured in 1967 war, and he equated Israel's struggle against the Palestinians with the U.S. war on terrorism. Delay's remarks were the latest example of unflinching support for Israel among many U.S. conservative Christian. The Texas Republican got half dozen standing ovations from a Washington Conference of American Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC, the chief pro-Israel lobbying group. DeLay told a Texas audience earlier this month that true Bible Christianity offers the only viable, reasonable, definitive answer to Life's Keys question. In his speech today, DeLay called Israel the lone fountain of liberty in the Middle East and said Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat's administration is nothing more than a holding company for terrorist subsidiaries. DeLay also suggested that Israel should not return territory despite the Bush's administration's call for an independent Palestinian state in the West Bank and Gaza. He pointedly changed the phrase West Bank in the text of his speech to Judea and Samaria, terms used by those who say these biblical Jewish territories should remain part of the modern Jewish state. I say a hearty amen to that. He said, I have toured Judea and Samaria. He said, and stood on the Golan Heights, captured from Syria in 1967. I didn't see occupied territory. I saw Israel. DeLay's address to the conference and the warm reception it received underline an alliance between some Israel supporters and conservative U.S. Christians that began in the 1980s and has become much stronger under the Bush administration. We welcome support from every segment of American society. Executive Vice Chairman of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations said. Now, from our Israel file, Israeli soldiers risk death to save their enemies' lives. Why should I risk my life for an Arab who only wants to kill me? I remember the soldier's question and the date, June the 8th, 1982, but not with Lebanese village we were fighting in that day. We were fighting that Lebanese war. We were an impoverished leadership squad of Israeli paratroopers and special forces resting in a garage while Palestinians shot at us from nearby houses. We could have easily silenced the guns by calling in airstrikes, but that would destroy the village. Something our army simply would not do. If Arafat wants to hide behind civilians, that's his problem, the soldier protested. Let's bomb them and be done with it. Grunts of agreement circled the room. Perhaps I grunted as well. If it came down to a choice between upholding Israel's higher moral standards or returning home to my new wife, which would I pick? Today, Israel is again battling Arafat, this time in the West Bank, far closer to our homes, and again facing tough moral dilemmas. Israel has lost well over 400 citizens in terrorist attacks and has no choice but to defend itself. But the terrorists purposely put their headquarters in crowded urban areas, knowing that smoking them out would pose difficult questions for Israel. How could the army advance without hurting civilians? How to fight an enemy that uses teenagers as homicide bombers and ambulances as ammo trucks? Terrorists use human shields. The terrorists complicated these questions by preventing civilians from heeding Israel's warnings to evacuate targeted West Bank areas. Instead, old men, women, and children were made to serve as human shields. Buildings were booby-trapped to explode and collapse on Israeli troops and their civilian tenants. There was a simple answer. Send in Israel's air force and pulverize Jenin in minutes. The USA did so in Kosovo and Afghanistan, which reduced American casualties but caused thousands of civilian deaths. Such collateral losses are commonplace in warfare. So why couldn't Israel accept them? for the Israeli Defense Forces, composed largely of educated reservists and reflective of the country's democratic past, the use of massive firepower against civilians has always been out of the question. From the day of their induction, Israeli soldiers are drilled in the concept of the purity of arms that mandates that all human life is sacred and that non-combatants must never be harmed. Of course, no army, no matter how moral, can unerringly live up to that ideal. And Israel has, on occasion, fallen short. But for a country that has been in almost constant combat since its birth, the exceptions have been remarkably few. The number of Israelis who have died upholding those ideals has, by contrast, been enormous. No atrocities in Jenin. So it was in Jenin, where 23 Israelis, more than all the U.S. battle deaths in Kosovo and Afghanistan combined, died in 10 days of intense fighting. There was the usual grumbling about sticking out our necks for civilians who only hate us. But still the reservists fought on. Jenin was cleared, house by house, alley by alley, without the aid of air power or heavy artillery, giving civilians time to get out of the way. Israelis did not question why. It is what their army and their country is about. Israelis have since been stung by accusations of atrocities and massacres in the West Bank, by big lies that add insult to pain, to the pain of the losses. I felt similar resentment in Lebanon, where I saw Israeli soldiers repeatedly risking their lives to reduce civilian casualties, only to be charged with hideous crimes by the United Nations and other impartial bodies. So often I would ask myself, if we're going to be condemned for what we didn't do, why don't we do it already and save our own skins? But I never acted on that thought. Instead, in Lebanon in 1982, we moved out of that garage and into a desperate battle. I came home, many did not, and had a son who today serves in a frontline combat unit. He now faces the same dangers and dilemmas that I grappled with 20 years ago. And he tells me that he and his friends are making the same decisions. He would not have it any other way, he says. As his father, in spite of my fears, neither would I. Michael B. Oren, senior fellow at the Shalem Center in Jerusalem, is the author of the forthcoming 6 Days of War. Well, I understand what they are saying. We, America, and our allies are taking a wimpy position towards our friend, the greatest friend this nation has, Israel. And frankly, it makes me sick. Now, I've already mentioned this before, but Israel has the right, the biblical authority, to simply go in there and wipe them all out. Now, that would solve it real fast. They have the authority to at least get them to pack their bags, put them in a bus, or fly them out into the other Arab countries where they came from and where they really belong. Because the majority of the Palestinians who were there in 1947 came there as workers. They were not born in that area. They came from Egypt, Syria, mostly from Jordan, many from Saudi Arabia and Lebanon. They should have gone back into their own countries after the 1948 War of Independence. But no, their countries abandoned them and forced them into refugee camps. Whose fault is that? It is their fault. It is their country's fault. It is Egypt's fault, Saudi Arabia's fault, Syria's fault. Let's put the blame where it rightly belongs. It is not Israel's fault. If any country in the world has done anything for the benefit of the Palestinian people, as they have called themselves, which is really a recent designation since 1967, if anybody has done anything to help them, it has been the Jews. You know what? They're biting off the hand that feeds them. Where do you think the majority of the Palestinians get their paychecks from anyhow? They were getting it from the Israeli government. That's right. Now, these military standards that I've read would not be exercised by any of those Arab countries. They wouldn't abide by that. They're cutthroat bloodsuckers. I mean, they could care less. They can care less about the quality of life. I'm talking about the majority of them. Oh, yes, I know. There's some educated Arabs out there to know better. And by the way, there's a number of Christian Arabs that are caught in the middle of all this. Many of them do love God. And they want peace. And they know what the Bible says about Israel. And for them, I feel bad for them. I believe they're suffering. I believe they're suffering more than anybody. They're caught between a rock and a hard place. What they ought to do is join the Israeli army and fight for the right. Fight for Israel. That's what they should do. They should stand for Israel. And if it means they need to take arms against their own people, that's what they need to do. Because it's right. Because it's the Christian thing to do. Instead of helping Hamas and those murderers over there. And if the Christians don't stand up for what's right, if they don't stand up for what's right, they're consenting unto sin. They're guilty. Now, if you're a Bible-believing Christian and live in Arab so-called occupied area, and you don't love the Jew, I don't even believe you are a Christian. And if you're not willing to stand up for Israel, I don't believe you're even, I wouldn't even consider you a Christian. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, naming the name of Christ. But if you're a Bible-believing Christian and you're caught in the middle of this tragedy, what you ought to do is you ought to stand up for what's right. And if you need to, just get out of that area. Get out. Get your family out. And get asylum in Israel. Do something. But don't stand still and do nothing. Now, if you're listening to me, I want to just tell you that you've been fed a pack of lies by Arafat and his cronies. They're lying to you. If you want to know the truth, you're going to have to get out of that mess, because all you're listening to is garbage. I hope you can get this broadcast. In fact, I know that you can get it on shortwave. And I do hope that as you're listening to this broadcast, you'll tell as many people as possible about the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Tell them so they can hear the truth and make an educated decision what they need to do. Well, don't turn your dial. You've been with us this far. There's more to come. Mm-hmm. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Powdersprings, Georgia, or G.A., 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad that you have stayed with us for the remaining portion of the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Now, this probably will be the last part, section, part three, I guess you can call it, on the message, the seal or the devil's seal versus God's seal. Or are you becoming a reprobate? I preached this message in a 10 evangelistic revival in Sylacauga, Alabama. And it was a great blessing. And God blessed, and souls were saved and born again. Saints were edified, built up in the faith. And many lives were changed for the good. We thank God for helping us with the meeting. Now, pay close attention to the Word of God and receive the truth and God will bless you.
In their foreheads, and let no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. You want to know what's going to happen? Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's 66. That's 666. Six, six, six. Here it is. The UPC code developed some years ago. They want this to be the universal code to buy or sell. Many of you have already have seen where they put it through a scanner. Years ago, they said, how could that be possible? How could such a mark be possible? Now, if this is not the mark, it's surely we're on the way to be able to do it, right? And the devil's on the way to be able to do it. Hey, let me tell you something. We are closer than you think. We are so close. I mean, it's scary if you're not saved. It's exciting for me because I know I'm saved. Hey, this stuff don't bother me. This stuff gets me excited. I see this stuff and I say, wow! The coming of the Lord draweth nigh, man. I'm about ready. I'm about ready to see my groom. Hallelujah. Amen. And my spiritual groom. Amen. But here, they said, I don't know if she was the editor or something, but they already figured this out. But there's many product codes, and I've verified this, I've documented this. The two lines that don't have a number on it in the beginning represent the number 6. The two lines in the middle don't have a number underneath it, represent the number 6. The two lines on the end don't have a number underneath it, represents the number 6. Now, I'll tell you something right now. You have 666. That's what's going through those machines. Buy and sell. And for those of you who are under the sound of the gospel tonight, whoever you are, when we get out of here with a shout, maybe tonight, that could be the latter rain. That could be the sign from heaven that we're about to be caught away. That God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is about to kidnap His bride. With a shout. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I can't wait to go. How many of you will be left behind? 5, 10 of you. You'll be sitting around in your chair looking around. What in the world has happened? These people have gone out of this world, amen. And they've gone out with a shout. Here it is, folks. 666. Well, some of you are on the internet, aren't you? Well, that's a whole subject by itself. But the fact of the matter is, now, when you look at the 6th alphabet of the Hebrew language, it is the equivalent of W in the English language. Come on now. Here it is. W. The World Wide Web. 666. What is it doing? It's webbing everybody together.
That's what it's doing.
Webbing everybody together. Guess what? We're living in a generation that what was thought impossible is now right at our door. And I'm here to tell you, as much as the mark of the beast is at the door right now, and as close as we are, sin lieth at the door. Sin lieth at the door. Sin lieth at the door of your heart tonight. He's knocking on your heart. He said, let me come in. Hallelujah. Amen. He's knocking on our church's doors, which is really the interpretation of that. Amen. Let me come in and let's really have worship. Amen. No, but you close that door and quit, the Holy Ghost, and kick me out. He says, let me in now. Let me in now. Are you with me now? Oh, mercy. Oh, mercy. What if I told you I got a special message from heaven tonight? But I'm only giving you a little session. And the message is, at 9:05, the trumpet will shout. 9:05, the trumpet will blow. The Bible says, blow, a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm. Sound an alarm. Blow the trumpet in Zion. And when we hear that trumpet sound, we are going to go out of here. Out of here. You talk about leaping, you'll be leaping all the way up to the throne room of God. Woo! I tell you, it'll be great, man, when we hear that trumpet sound. Oh, yes, I'll tell you right now. But some of you will be sitting on your chair. And those of you that are sitting on your chair, where's that bottle? What did I do with that bottle? There it is. Where's that cap? Where's that cap here? Where's that cap? I know we're Baptists, but I may have to sprinkle you by accident. Here it is. You obeyed not the gospel. You had your chance. God's men preached to you every Sunday. You walked away. Oh, just another day. Just another hour. Oh, God, you'll give me another chance. Taking the grace of God for granted. It's too late now. They're gone. No more Holy Ghost preachers.
Amen.
Sorry, son. You had your last chance. That's the end of you. Never again. Once you get that mark, that's the end. There it is. The mark of the beast. It's too late. You have become reprobate silver. You have become rejected of God. It's all right to have quietness once in a while. Now let me put this together for you. Let me put this together. Notice here in chapter 14. Notice here in chapter 14. I'm trying to show you. I'm not making this up. This is not some new doctrine here. This is old time Bible preaching. Notice here, Revelation chapter 14. Look at what the Bible says in verse 9. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast. Notice! If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he or she shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 15, verse 1, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. For I believe we believe in a God of love, but I also believe in a God of justice. I believe in a holy God, and God cannot allow sin to reign in heaven. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory, woo, over the beast, amen, and over his image. These are tribulation saints. These are people that do get saved who never did hear the gospel. Over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the hearts of God. Yeah. Hey, let me tell you something. The people in hell are not going to have a party. We're having the party, son. Woo! We're going to be singing the praises of God. They're not going to be singing, man. They're going to be moaning and wailing. And they're going to be weeping. I tell you what, we're going to have the party. Amen. They're going to have the good time in heaven. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes. Woo! That's right. You know that's true. But did you notice that the tribulation saints, the Bible says, they had gotten the victory. Now, that's true for us saints too, the pre-tribulation saints. When I got saved, I'm not going to get the victory. I didn't have the victory. I got the victory. I'm an overcomer, son. Oh, man, I'm still drinking this beer. I can't get rid of this, man. I'm addicted, man. I'm saved. I'm glory, hallelujah. I'm saved. I'm saved, glory, hallelujah. Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, if you can't overcome, you ain't ever been saved. Because God is an overcomer. And God will give you the power to overcome every problem and every sin and every addiction and every problem in your life. We become an overcomer. Stay tuned now. Stay tuned. And so, oh, I tell you what. I tell you what. Look what happens to those that receive the mark. Not only do they get the wrath of God in the tribulation period. Notice, listen up quickly now. We're just about to end. Notice here in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says in verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, yeah, he's a serpent, and which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, man, won't that be glorious, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal. There you go. Even the devil is going to get a mark on himself. How about that? That old serpent, that old liar, he's going to be, God's going to do the same thing he's been doing to all these other people. That's right. And he'll never be let loose until 1,000 years. And then God's going to cast him into the lake of fire forever. His way with all those that follow him. Set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loose a little season. And those people that receive the mark of the beast will ultimately be cast into the lake of fire. Here it is. Here it is. The Bible says that you who have been rejected by God will get a seal. But the Bible says that everybody that names the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, to depart from iniquity. And when I got saved, something happened to me, dear brother. I grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You know how these crazy television evangelists said, heal. That's a bunch of baloney. They're not healing nobody. In fact, they're probably being used by the devil to put the mark of the beast on the guy's forehead. Hey, you think the mark of the beast is just tribulation? No, I believe it's in this dispensation. You just can't see it. Every time when somebody becomes a reprobate, they get a seal of the devil on their face. You can't see it, but God knows it. But when I get saved, when I got saved, I got sealed. I got the mark of God on me, man. Woo! Woo! Nobody can take that mark. God doesn't have an eraser, man. Amen. He don't have an eraser, man. I am sealed. I am saved. I am sanctified. Hallelujah. I'm going out. Praise God. I'm getting out of here one day. And the devil can't do anything to me. Yes, sir. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo! But some of you, you're becoming a reprobate. I'm going to say this in close. I want to help you tonight. There's at least 10 of you tonight. About 10 of you probably. That are becoming a reprobate. You're not one yet. But you're going to get one. Can I help you not to become a reprobate? You can get saved tonight. Sin lieth at the door. Right here. The Lord Jesus Christ has His hand out to you. Like He had to Cain, He said. He said, would you come and bring an offering, an unblemished, unspotted offering, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, listen, Cain, I'm giving you one more chance. Cain, I love you, Cain. I haven't come to die for you yet, but that animal right there, it's a picture of me. It's a picture of that greatest story that ever was, that God would come to take your place and suffer the judgment, Almighty God, and suffer the penalty for our sins and wash us with His blood. Cain, I'm begging you, Cain, sin lieth at the door. Cain, if you don't bring that offering, I will not be able to accept you or it. I will have to reject you. I will have to reject you. And it'll be too late. I'd like you to bow your heads for a moment now. Only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, folks, listen. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many times you come to the altar. God doesn't care how sinful you are. God doesn't care about what you've done. All God cares about is you'll look on your sin offering tonight and you'll embrace Him by faith and you'll say, Lord, I'm wicked and I need your forgiveness and I'm sick and tired of my sin. And I want to have that sin offering, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to trust Him. I want to believe in the promise of eternal life. I want to receive eternal life, God says, as many as received Him, to them gave Him. To them did He eternal life. Some have already come at this old-fashioned altar. Just bow your heads and close your eyes. If you need to come, if you're not sure you're a reprobate, would you please come? If you're not sure, if you think you might be maybe one of those that's on the verge of getting the mark of the devil on your forehead, I'm telling you that'll be it. That'll be the end of you.
Well, this invitation is open to all, whether you are a Jewish person or a non-Jew. God says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So, what will you do? The Bible says, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. God is reaching out to you with an outstretched arm. He's reaching out to Israel with an outstretched arm. Will you acknowledge your transgression before a holy God and recognize that the Messiah has come already for your atonement? The Lord Jesus Christ hung on a cruel cross of Calvary, shed His precious blood to pay the penalty for our sins. What a crying shame! How terrible would it be for you to reject that great gift of eternal life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you willing to receive it? If you're willing to receive it, God's willing to give it to you. But you're not going to be able to receive it by being a good person, because there's none that doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. But you're going to have to receive it by faith. Are you of a heavy heart now? Has God convicted you of your sin, wickedness? Well, there is mercy with the Lord. There is mercy with the Lord Jesus. He did take your place on that cruel cross of Calvary so that you would not have to die for your own sins. Will you receive him? Please, please, I beg of you that if God's dealing with you this moment, call upon the name of the Lord. Beg his forgiveness. Ask him to save you from your sin. Ask him to save you from hell. Ask him to deliver you from the judgment to come. Ask him for mercy. Ask him for the grace of God. Has God shown you that you're guilty of offending him? Has God shown you that you are guilty as charged before a holy God? Then repent, confess, and be willing to forsake your wicked way. God will have mercy. Put your full trust in him. Lay hold on eternal life.
Keep his covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire, receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.